Okay, tell me if I go away from it. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, you are so good to us, and we thank you, Lord, for this new day, Lord, and this is the day you have made. We've heard this earlier, Lord, and we just rejoice that you have made this day for us. And we just pray, Father, that you would just bless every moment of it, Lord. Just help us to retain what you want us to and to put into action those things, Father, that are needed in our lives. Bless us again, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. So the laundry room in my house is in the kitchen. I have a very small house, and it's a galley kitchen. They face each other. And so a lot of times I'm doing kitchen stuff while I'm doing laundry stuff. And usually I'm in that robe because I'm running around the house gathering things and sorting my clothes, and then I'm also throwing things in the dishwasher and, you know, doing stuff like that. So I have a multi-purpose room. But for these purposes, I'm going to build a really nice laundry room, huh? I'm going to build my dream laundry room. And it's not in a small galley kitchen. But I've been in this house for 29 years, and I've had the same room. So I'm used to it, and I do fine with it. So I'm not complaining. So the first thing I'm going to do is sort my clothes and get them ready to treat them with stains, because we all know that our clothes get stained, and we need to have them treated. I have a bad habit of, because of this small house, I run around from room to room gathering the clothes. They're not always in a hamper in right by the laundry room, because it's a small house and we don't have space for that. So I'll go get Jake's jeans and throw them in there, and then I'll go around someplace else to get the whites. Well, sometimes I've got things thrown in there. I've put my detergent in there. I put the water in there, and I've thrown in some clothes. Sometimes maybe I'll throw in some whites, accidentally throwing in a red. What's going to happen? It's going to permeate it, and it's going to turn out pink. So just like sin, it creeps in, and we don't even recognize it. Unchecked, subtly, it takes us by surprise. Maybe I'm not reading my Bible every day like we were hearing. We got a good lesson on that. Maybe we're watching shows on TV that aren't lifting us up. Maybe we're just wasting time. We're getting lazy. We're doing things we shouldn't be doing. We've messed up. We have some unconfessed sin that needs to be taken care of in our lives. Or if we continue in it, we're separated from God. What we do either draws us near to God, or it's going to draw us away from him, because he cannot be in the presence of sin. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. That's God. Franklin Graham says, God knows our heart and sees our deeds. So at this point, here we are. We're sinning. I'm not going to go into all the different things we could be doing, because we've heard lots of them already. But sin needs to be dealt with moment by moment, day by day, and not allowed to sit there. And so you need to recognize them continually. Be willing to confess them, large and small. Keep yourself clean and in the presence of Jesus. We want to be in fellowship with him constantly. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. That's Isaiah 59:2. We want him to listen to us, don't we? And listening today, I see some that I need to go home and deal with. I thank you, ladies, for that. That's what we come here for. We want to hear the things that will help us. So we've sorted, we've treated, we've washed them, and we've seen our need. We need to confess these sins. We need to get our place in order. And I have, I wanted to read John. This is the devotion I've been using for this year. I started the first of the year, and it's here, A Pillar by Day by John Corson, and I'm sure most of you have already done this one too. This is the Old Testament, and when I was preparing for this, I came across two of these in here that I will read to you parts of. The first one is in Leviticus 16, 20 through 22, and it's regarding the scapegoat, the sin offering, the two goats. So one was to be sacrificed because the wages of sin is death, but the other goat was brought before Aaron in order that he may lay his hands on its head and verbally, articulately, and carefully confess the sins of the nation and, in a sense, transfer the sin to the goat. Symbolically bearing the sins of the whole nation, the goat was then led to the wilderness where it symbolically carried the sins of the congregation out of sight. Now, this scapegoat is an illustration of God's declaration that he will remember our sins and iniquities no more. So once you've taken your sins to the Lord, he doesn't remember them. I have many verses on that. And I've swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. And that's in Isaiah 44:22. Let me read what he says, because it's an illustration that he's forgotten our sins. Most people know this. This is what John says. Most people know this doctrinally, but because they don't believe it in the deepest part of their soul, they believe God is disappointed in them due to what happened 10 years ago, 10 weeks ago, or 10 minutes ago. We carry those sins around with us sometimes way too long, and we need to let them go. We need to accept that forgiveness. And like God, we don't need to remember it anymore. And those are the verses. I have many of them here, but I'll read some of them. he says, Job 14:17, my sins would be sealed in a pouch, and you would cover my guilt. I like that one. And he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and that's Psalm 103:12. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. So God is a God of forgiveness, and he wants to bless us, and we've heard that earlier too. He wants us to dwell with him, and that's why he created us. He wants us to be friends with him. And our sins keep us from being in his presence. We need to continually remember that too. So he's rescued us. Isaiah 38:17, yes, this anguish was good for me, for you have rescued me from death and forgiven all my sins. So he's rescued us from death. And communion last night, visualizing our Lord on that cross and dying for our sins, we don't need to hang on to him. You know, he did that once for us, and we need to let those old things. One thing I remember sometimes a lot of my past, you know, old sins, and I don't need to do that. Years ago, in fact, I had this. I was in a women's Bible study before I met Jake. We've been married 37 or 38 years, I forget. This was at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, and it was a women's Bible study, and I was single, and I was young. but anyway, it was just a group of women, and she asked us to go home and come back the following week with a life verse. Well, Linda read that life verse in the one that the Lord gave me. You can find it. well, it's the one in Peter about I should have been much more organized, but I have little time. First Peter 3:2. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Was that Jenna too? Anyway, so what I'm trying to say about that scripture is, as life has gone on, at that time, this seemed pretty easy to me. Back then, 40 years ago, or however long ago it was, I thought, well, I was a gentle and quiet spirit at that time. I got married. I got a child that is turmoil constantly. and I didn't turn into such a beautiful on the inside type of a person at times. But back then, with no other stresses around as a single person, I thought, well, how can this be a life verse for me? That seems like what I am right now. But lo and behold, I constantly have to remember that I am not gentle and quiet a lot of times. And those are things that I need to confess a lot of the times. So that's, God knew I needed that as a lifetime verse. Anyway, so I do. I'm constantly in confession. I say things out of control sometimes, and I have to ask him to forgive me for it. But I'm going to remind you of David in Psalm 51. At the time this was written, the prophet Nathan came to David and confronted him with his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And he accepted that, and he immediately wanted to confess. I thought, how wonderful of him to not put up a bunch of defenses. And he in verse 1, he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins." Verse 2, "Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin." And verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal or right spirit within me." Verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." Now listen to these words. Have mercy. Blot out, wash me clean, purify me, create in me, renew, restore, make me willing. Those are things that you can go back to. This thing keeps slipping. That's okay. I'm shuffling around. And then, you know, he completely was changed after that, and he became a man after God's own heart. So that can happen to us. Whatever sin is separating me needs to be gone, not continuing, not no longer holding me back, keeping me from things, because it will. It'll keep you from serving. It'll keep you from worshiping. It'll keep you from praying. And you'll shrink back into something you shouldn't be. And so I need to change. I need to mature to grow up. I need to get back into that fellowship with him until he calls me home. I'm a new creation in Christ after I've done that. And I experience this each time I come before him, humbly seeking that forgiveness. Seek to please God, because you won't be happy anywhere else. If you're not in fellowship with him, you will not. So I'm in the dryer now. And I wanted to tell you a funny story. At least it's funny to us. We have this horrible cat, Lucy. She's long hair, black and white, and she's not very... She has kind of a grumpy posture. And anyway, Lucy, one day, the night before, Jake says to me right before bed, "I don't have any jeans to wear tomorrow." This is right before bed. So I throw them in. So then I went to bed, had to get up, throw them in the dryer. And unfortunately, I wasn't prepared, you know, in my mind for that. But when he got up in the morning, he had to get a pair of Levi's out, because I go to work before he does, and I didn't have time to fold them. And see, this is my sin. I wasn't prepared. I didn't have this stuff done. Poor Jake. No. He didn't need to remind me. I should have had it done. Anyway, so he must have left the door open. Lucy climbs in. And somebody else must have come around and shut the door, because it's a galley kitchen, and if the door's open, you know, and you need to go. Anyway, so she was in there all day, from morning until late in the afternoon. I usually get home around 11:30 or 12, something like that, because I only work half a day. And I didn't get home till like 4 or something that day. And I don't know why I even went in there. But if you'd have seen, I should have taken a picture, honestly, because the hair was like this, you know. It was like, she was just so messy, and she didn't even hardly have a voice, but she did make known, you know, and jumped out. I don't know how she could even breathe in there, you know what I mean? But that poor cat, several hours. Oh, that poor girl. So, quickly, and I know most of you are Christians, but put on your armor every day. That's just like a mental note, you know. Put on all of those. And I wanted to point out our Bible study, our women's Bible study, will cover your armor, because it's in those books, Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians. And it's... No? Oh, we're not doing Colossians. I like Colossians. Anyway. Next time, okay. Okay, so anyway, we'll cover our armor, our daily armor. And then another thing I wanted to point out that I'm not going to speak about, but I want you to do this. Pat did an amazing message on the Church of Laodicea a few weeks ago. I have gone back and I have re-listened to it, and I highly recommend you do that too. And those of you that have not heard it, all you need to do is to go on our website, and it's S Solid Rock Christian Fellowship, all written out, I think. I'm sorry, what?
Crescent City, Solid.
Oh, okay. Crescent City, Solid Rock Christian Fellowship. And then just go to recent messages, and that one is on the lukewarm church. Self-indulgent, self-confident, very pleased with themselves, no energy in my religious behavior. But the good news, God is a God of second, third, and fourth chances. He's always ready to forgive us, and he wants to bless us. And I'm not getting to my, let's see. Okay. So the last thing I have to read to you is John's September 1st message, and this is, I believe, what the Lord wants me to share with you today about the Lord. In Leviticus 19, 1 and 2, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 19 issues a call to holiness. Holiness is related to wholeness, and God wants us to be a whole people. When you understand this, you'll find that the commands of God are no longer burdensome. You'll find yourself wanting to embrace them, eager to learn them, ready to practice them. The Father wants us to be a blessed people, blessed in our families and in our marriages and in our relationships and our occupations. He truly desires us to be happy. Satan, the deceiver and liar, says holiness leads to strangeness. You'll be miserable, he hisses. You'll miss out on all the fun. Not so. God doesn't look in the mirror and say, I'm not pleased with this aspect of myself. Or, I wish I was a bit different in this area of my personality. No, because he is holy, God is totally, completely, and absolutely happy with every part of his being. You see, in essence, the word holy simply means whole. And because he's whole, he lacks nothing. God is supremely happy with who he is, and he wants nothing less for us. Holiness leads to happiness. That's an absolute, non-negotiable, irrefutable spiritual principle. God wants us to be holy, for he is holy. He commands us to be holy, for he wants us to be happy. So if you're daily seeking the Lord, praying his will, not mine, for my life, in fellowship with believers, loving others as myself, you'll have no worries. You'll everything these ladies said about your daily devotions, your all of that. We need to remember all of that. That's all I have. And love the Lord with all your heart.
Oh, did you?